תודה רבה, כבוד הרב. ברוכים הנמצאים, קהל קדוש. It's a pleasure to be here tonight, a special night, Tu Bishvat, which is, of course, the holiday of the trees, the holiday of the fruit. I think it's very appropriate that you have this singles event tonight. After all, the purpose of marriage is to bear fruit. The first mitzvah in the Torah is peru urvu. The word peru is to be fruitful. Actually, fruit is, the root comes from the Hebrew word, ferut. Ferut is peru, be fruitful. So I think tonight is a very good omen for all of you. A human being is compared to a tree. Ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh. And therefore, just like tonight, we celebrate the trees and the fruit. I pray that all that are looking to get married, both boys and girls, as the rabbi said, they'll find their zivug b'sha'atova mutzlachat, v'zivug ya'aleh yafeh yafeh, and b'azat Hashem they'll be merited to bring perot, metukim, sweet and proper fruit and children, banim u'banot, la'avodato yitbarach, amen. I came tonight to say a chiddush. I haven't said this chiddush anywhere yet. You cannot hear it online or in a CD somewhere. Our parasha is parashat Yitro. The parasha of the Aseret HaDibirot. Parashat Matan Torah. The Ten Commandments. The parasha is a great, great parasha. Because of this parasha, we have a holiday called Shavuot, which commemorates this event. That makes the Shabbat very great. In this Shabbat is the Shabbat of Matan Torah. Before the Torah was given, there's an introduction. Vayikra elav Adonai menahar lemor. So God calls Moshe Rabbeinu. Kotomar lebet Yaakov, v'taged lebnei Yisrael. God says, bring me and go speak to Bet Yaakov, the house of Jacob. Says Rashi, who's Bet Yaakov? Elu ha-Nashim, this is the girls. V'taged lebnei Yisrael, and speak to the Bnei Yisrael, that's the men. That means when the Torah was given, it was first given to the woman, to the Bet Yaakov, and then to Bnei Yisrael. The question is obvious. No offense to the ladies, but the ladies are not even obligated to study Torah like the men are. The Pasuk says, "V'lemadetem otam et benechem, benechem v'lo benotechem." Torah is the main career of men. Men are hayavim in the study of Torah. And when God is about to give the Torah to Bnei Israel, first He goes to the ladies, Kot Torah lebet Yaakov, and then the men. I can only imagine. If the great rabbis of the generation needed to convene to discuss a very intricate halakha, a life and death issue, and the rabbis decide we're going to meet on Tuesday in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh, in this synagogue, 250 of the greatest rabbis. And then they send out a communication that before the big meeting on Tuesday, the rabbi's wives are going to meet on Monday for a pre-meeting. The wives of the rabbis are meeting. For what purpose? The rabbanim decide the halakha. The rabbanim come in with their books and they decide Jewish law. This is not one Jewish law, Matan Torah. It's all the laws. And God says, first Bet Yaakov, and then Bnei Israel. Why? Furthermore, I'm only in the introduction. The Pasuk writes, Ushmartem et Beriti. God says, you'll keep my covenant. Vihitem li segula. You'll be for me segula. What is segula? I once saw an interpretation. The Jewish people are called Am Segula. Because the Jewish people, they come from Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. In the Nekudot, one of the Nekudot is called the Segol. The Segol is three dots. One on the right, one on the left, one in the middle. The Segol represents Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So the Jewish people are called Am Segula. We're the children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We come from the Segol. But what does this mean there? God says, V'hitem li Segula. You will be a Segula to me. You see, some people, they have Segula. They wear a red string around their wrist. Or they wear something for good luck. So God says, V'hitem li Segula. You're going to be my good luck charm. Am Yisrael is God's Segula. What does that mean? Wear God's red string? Where God's kamiya. So the Shia Kadosh writes, Segula, two words, Otsar Habib. Otsar is a treasure. Habib, beloved. Otsar Habib, beloved treasure. I'm not too sure if I understand what that means even. What does it mean, Otsar Habib, where beloved treasure? What does it mean, a treasure? The next pasuk, Ve'atem tehiyuli mamlechet kohanim. God says to the Jewish people, you're going to be mamlechet kohanim. Mamlechet is kings, malchut. Kohanim, priests. This pasuk is very difficult for me. Are we kings? And are we Kohanim? I'm not a Kohen. I'm Israel. And we're not, no one is kings today. So what does it mean the Pasuk writes, you're going to be Mamlechet Kohanim? As a matter of fact, it's two different things. A Melech is a Melech and a Kohen is a Kohen. How could you be Mamlechet Kohanim at the same time? I didn't come tonight just to ask questions. Me'ezat Hashem, I'd like to offer answers to these questions as well. But you must be aware that there's another mountain besides Har Sinai. That mountain is called Har HaMoriah, Mount Moriah. Where is Har HaMoriah? In Yerushalayim, the Temple Mount. Like we say in Shir HaShirim, Elech li el Har HaMor ve'el Givat HaLevona. Har HaMor, that's Har HaMoriah, Ve'el Gevaat HaLevona, that's the mountain where the Ketoret, which has the Levona, used to emanate from. The Midrash writes, and I'm not too sure what this Midrash means, but at the time that God was giving the Torah at Har Sinai, God uprooted Har HaMoriah and brought it to Har Sinai. So, as if the Torah was given in front of both these mountains. For what purpose? Har Sinai is not enough. God needs to transplant Har HaMoriah and bring it to Har Sinai. And the last question I'd like to pose tonight. The Gemara writes that while Moshe Rabbeinu was Eved Ne'eman, he was a loyal servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A few things in his career, Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own, and God agreed with him. One of the things Moshe Rabbeinu did was, Hosif Yom Echad Midda'ato. God said that Matan Torah is supposed to be on a Friday, Erev Shabbat. Moshe Rabbeinu pushed it off one day to Shabbat. Why? I understand there's a connection between Shabbat and the Torah. That's the day most people study the most of their learning is on Shabbat. So for sure, Torah and Shabbat are a good match. But guess what? We learn on Friday also. Erev Shabbat's a holy day. What's the matter with Erev Shabbat? Moshe Rabbeinu delayed it. Everybody got the invitation, Matan Torah Friday. Then they got a call, Rabotai. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to push it off one day. Everybody come back tomorrow morning. Why? In order to understand the answers to these questions, you need some introductions. I believe these introductions are very important. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah is in Perek Gimel. The author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. It's Mishnah Yud Aleph. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa Omer, Kol sheyirat chet'o kodemet lechokhmato, chokhmato mitkayemet. Vechol shechokhmato kodemet leyirat chet'o, en chokhmato mitkayemet. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa tells us a rule about Chochmat HaTorah, the wisdom of Torah, which is different than all other fields of education or knowledge. Whereas in other fields of education, we base success on IQ, on aptitude, on understanding, cognitive thinking. That'll get a person very far in mathematics, in science. If he has a good memory, he'll go far in history, remembering dates. That's the way we measure knowledge to succeed in other wisdoms. However, when it comes to the Chokhmah of Torah, the Mishnah says there's one prerequisite that you need to succeed. And that is called Yirat Shamayim. Fear of God. Like the Pasuk says, Reshit Chokhmah Yirat Adonai. Reshit Chokhmah means the prerequisite to Chokhmah is fear of God. Now you might not know yet what fear of God is. Everybody always says, Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Shamayim, but nobody has time to ever explain that to us. They just tell us, everybody has to have Yirat Shamayim. But they never tell us exactly, how do we do it? What is it? What do they want from us? Do they want us to walk around shaking, scared, about shadow, nervous? What is this Yirat Shamayim? But I'll tell you one thing, the Mishnah is clearly telling us. Without Yirat Shamayim, you could learn and learn and learn and learn, but the chokhmah will not do anything to the person. En chokhmato mitkayemet. The wisdom of the Torah will not change the person and won't influence the person and won't affect the person. You don't need Yirat Shamayim to be a mathematician. You don't need Yirat Shamayim to be a biologist. You don't need Yirat Shamayim to be a historian. But you do need Yirat Shamayim to be a Torah person. That's why I need to make a statement here. You hear many times, people say, this guy over here, he's a genius. Talking about a person of Torah. They say, he's a genius. I want you to know, nowhere in the Torah does it say we're impressed by geniuses. Genius is not something that necessarily is something we get excited about. My computer is also a genius. I put all the Torah on the computer. I type in any question, so the Torah, my computer is a genius. Does it have any value? If the computer comes in, you stand up for it? I take a donkey. And I put all the shas on the back of the donkey. So it's a hamor, no se sefarim. It's a donkey that has shas on his back. Oh, he's a genius. What genius? Is the bookshelf smart? What do you mean? The bookshelf has all the sefarim. So what? Nowhere do we need geniuses. What we're looking for is Yirat Shamayim. Fear of God. Then everything else is impressive. But you just show me somebody that knows the whole Torah backwards and forwards and can quote where this book is and where that page is, and the people say, wow, look at this, photographic, genius, who cares, genius? First you have to show me Yirat Shamayim. Otherwise, this chokhmah is not mitkayemet. The chokhmah is weak. The chokhmah is on a low level. As an example, you'll agree to this. Show me somebody that knows Masechet Shabbat from the first page to the last page, and he knows all the halachot of Shabbat. And what does he do on Shabbat? The whole Shabbat, he learns Masechet Shabbat the whole day. That's all he does. He wakes up in the morning, prays Shacharit, after Musaf, Shabbat. And as he's learning Masechet Shabbat, what is he doing? Smoking a cigarette. Is this person's Masechet Shabbat worth anything? How much is it worth now? Before I told you he was smoking a cigarette, he said, oh, genius, so smart, unbelievable, kiss his hand. Now you say, what do you mean, he's smoking a cigarette when he's reading Masechet? That means the Torah is Chokhmah, but there's no Yirat Shamayim. There's no fear. Torah is a book. It's a book. It's a interesting mental gymnastics, mental exercise. He gets thrilled from the give and take. He gets excited from the debate. He loves the logic. It's brain work. But he has no fear of God. His Torah is worthless. Would you go ask that person a question on Hilchot Shabbat? You say, why not? What's one thing have to do with the other? He knows Masechet Shabbat cold. He's not studying Masechet Shabbat, this guy. That's not called Masechet Shabbat. Without Yirat Shamayim, that's not called Masechet. That's Masechet Gehinam. That's a different Masechet. Because the prerequisite for Chokhmah is Yirat Shamayim. So what we should be impressed is when you tell me, you see this person over there, he has Yirat Shamayim. Ho, Yirat Shamayim. This is a big item. Now tell me what else. And he studies Torah. This is somebody we have to get close to. This is somebody we have to ask a question to. How important is this? I have over here Shohar Aruch. This is the book of our laws. I open up page 1 of the Shulchan Aruch. Page Aleph. This is Halakha number 1. This is how the book opens up. I'm reading from the Ramah. Shviti Adonai lenegdi tamid. One must always view God in front of him always. Hu klal gadol b'Torah. That's a great principle in Torah. That a person always recognizes that he's in the presence of God. How often does he have to recognize this? Tamid. Shiviti Adonai lenigdi tamid. That's a klal gadol in Judaism. That's how the book starts. If you don't have Shiviti Adonai Lenegdi Tamid, close the Shulchan Aruch. Then this book becomes just a secular book with laws. This becomes, you know, a legislative book. So you might as well go study the American Constitution. Go read the Bill of Rights. Go study the Code of Hammurabi. But if you want this book to seep into your bones and to flow through your bloodstream, you must follow Shiviti Adonai Lenegdi Tamid. But Rabbi, what does that mean? What do you want me to do? Walk around see Yudke Vatke in front of me, walk around with a paper that says Yudke Vatke, and just look at it, tell me what you want me to do. So he tells you, read further. By the way, what I'm quoting now, the one who's talking is Maimonides. This is written in his book, Moreh Nevuchim, The Guide to the Perplexed. Ki en yeshivat ha'adam utnu'otav va'asakav vehu lebado bebeto ki yeshivato utnu'otav va'asakav vehu lefne melech gadol. First application of Yirat Shamayim. When a person's alone and nobody's watching him, he doesn't sit the way he would sit if somebody was in front of him, especially a king. Which means Yirat Shamayim is the way a person behaves when nobody's watching him. Not in a class. In a class, everybody's on good behavior. That's not Yirat Shamayim. That's Yirat Haverim. Of course, right after the shiur is over, you see everybody picking up the fruits. What's the beracha on this? It's Baruch. With kavanot. But that's not Yirat Shamayim necessarily. Because as you're saying Baruch, you're looking, who's watching? That you're promoting yourself. So you're using the beracha to show, look, I'm religious. You know where Yirat Shamayim is found? When you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning to get a glass of water because you're thirsty, and nobody's watching, how do you make the beracha at 1 o'clock in the morning? That's Yirat Shamayim. Because now only God is watching. The person that only makes berachot in public doesn't show anything yet. But in the privacy of his house, there was a great rabbi called Rav Moshe Yeshua Landau, lived in Eretz Yisrael. One of the rabbis that I studied with was Rav Chaim Brim. One day, Rav Chaim Brim, Alav Shalom, went to visit Rav Moshe Yeshua Landau at 2 o'clock in the morning. The rabbis are learning all night. He had a question. He saw the rabbi's light was on. He went in. I guess this was customary. When he walked in, he saw the rabbi wasn't in his office. He understood that he went to the restroom for a second. So Rav Moshe Yeshua Landau comes out of the restroom. He doesn't know that Rav Chaim Brim is in his office. He's waiting for him. Rav Chaim Brim says, I see him come out of the office, of the restroom, and I see him making a beracha b'asher yatzar. He doesn't know anybody's looking at him. He doesn't know anybody's in his house. But Rav Chaim's watching him. He said the kavanah he had of that asher yatzar is greater than the kavanah that most people have on Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. That's Yirat Shamayim. That a person serves God in private when nobody's watching, just like he serves God in public. Now I'm not saying one that serves God in public could also be Yirat Shamayim. But the main litmus test of Yirat Shamayim is in private. In public, when a person comes to Bet Knesset, he prays the Amidah. He shakes. They have the shakers. Shake and shake, and they go back and forth. You have the longitude shakers, and you have the latitude shakers. Put a talit over your head. Yirat Shamayim. You have the people that pray the Amidah. They're fighting with God. Their hands are moving. I asked them after they finished, who won? Who won the first round? Who won the second round? What did you do? You knocked out God in the first round. How do you expect them to answer your tefillot? Who are you fighting with? Why are you fighting? Who are you angry with? No, I'm not angry. I'm praying with kavanah. Praying. I want to know how you pray at home. You pray with the same kavanah? When you pray at home, you also put on the boxing gloves? You also shaking when you pray at home? No, when nobody's watching. ותפילתם מהרה ואהבה תקבל ברצון. וקוויק עמידה, בום בום. So the Rambam says, Yirat Shamayim, if you want to test yourself, if you're a God-fearing person, your test is going to be, how do you act when nobody's watching? Furthermore, he says, ולא דיבורו ועל חמת פיו כרסונו, והוא עם אנשי ביתו קרוביו כדיבור במושב המלך. A person doesn't talk to his friend the way he talks to a king. When the person is in front of the king, he's very careful what he says. He talks in a low voice. He talks with great respect. People that have Yirat Shamayim, whenever they talk to their friend, they imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of them at that point. And therefore, although they're talking to their friend, God is here, so they have to be very careful the way they talk, what they say. They don't raise their voice, because they know God is here. How could you raise your voice in front of God? Derech Eretz, where's the Kavod? So the person that has Yirat Shamayim, if you want to measure it, number one, how he acts in private when nobody's looking, how he talks to people with respect. Nobody ever told you that. Nobody ever told you that Yirat Shamayim is how you talk to your friend. If a person is rude to his friend, that means he doesn't have Yirat Shamayim so much. Because how could you talk like that? Not to your friend. How do you talk like that in front of God? God is here. Shaviti Hashem Levi Tamid. If you believe God is Melech Kol Haaretz Kevodo, you see, I don't know what they told you that Yirat Shamayim is. I think they told you when you were young, Yirat Shamayim means you have to go to the mikveh every day. And if you go to the mikveh every day, that's Yirat Shamayim. They say, but Rabbi, I don't go to the mikveh every day. I only go once a year before Kippur. No, sorry, you have no Yirat Shamayim. That's a mistake. You know what Yirat Shamayim is? The way a person is dressed in his house. The person says, what do you mean? I'm in my house. Nobody sees me. You know, the halakha makes such a big deal how you're supposed to walk around your house when nobody's there. I'm not talking about where people are there. Because people are there, you're not going to dress out of place because you're worried about the people. I'm talking about you're alone and the lights are off. There's whole halakhot. In the olden days, they used to sleep under the covers. They didn't have pajamas. So the halakha is, how are they going to get out of the bed in the morning, but they're going to be uncovered? So they have to put the robe underneath the covers, so when they get out of bed, they're covered, so the walls don't sit. Wow! What are you getting about? Halakhot of siniut in the bathroom. What do you mean? I'm in the bathroom. What's the difference? Because the halakha is predicated on the fact there's God here. You're not alone. And if somebody's watching you and there's a video on you, you have to be careful. Be careful how you dress, you have to be careful how you sit. The way you talk, person comes to Beit Knesset. Some people, they don't realize they're in the house of God. All of a sudden you hear them in the middle of Beit Knesset yawning. What happened to you over here? What happened? The Beit Knesset of God. This is a baseball game? Well, you see them sitting casually. See them put their foot over the other foot. Check, Bet Knesset. Not over here, this is a hole. But in Bet Knesset, that's how you sit? If you went to the White House, you're sitting in front of the president, you sit in front of him, he'll sit like that. But you can't sit like that. This Kavod HaMelech. You sit, you don't even sit back, you sit at the edge of your chair. You put your hands down, you don't even look, you look down. And people come to the Beit Knesset, they're slouching, they put their feet over there. That's what Yirat Shamayim is. Yirat Shamayim is in dress, Yirat Shamayim is in private, Yirat Shamayim is in speech, Yirat Shamayim is in conduct. I'll tell you where else it is. Yirat Hashem is being honest. See, a lot of people come to Bet Knesset, very religious, praying, stay for a shiur, then they go to work. And in work they're cheaters, they're thieves, they're crooks. They don't pay their bills, they don't pay their vendors, they don't keep their word. So you say, but Rabbi, he prays every day with binyan. Doesn't matter. He has no Yirat Shamayim. A person that is not honest in business does not have Yirat Shamayim. I don't care how big his kippah is. I don't care how big his seat is. I don't care if he eats kemach yashan and bet Yosef meat. That's already doesn't prove me his Yirat Shamayim. Does he keep his word? That's private. Nobody knows what's going on. That's in business. When nobody's watching, he's schizophrenic. In Bet Knesset he has one attitude, and outside the Bet Knesset he has the other. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He has a split personality. Honesty. Keeping your word. That's a person that has Yirat Shamayim. Not a person that goes to the butcher. Please, I like meat. Lechbot Shabbat, Lechbot Shabbat, Lechbot Shabbat. Of course, Lechbot Shabbat, of course. No, I say it, Lechbot Shabbat. And please, when you're cutting the meat, could you have Kavanah, Lechbot Shabbat? I'll have Kavanah, okay, Lechbot Shabbat. But please, don't give it to me yet, because I didn't go to the mikveh. I don't want to touch the meat yet. Hold it in the bag, I'm going to come back. Go to the mikveh, Kavanot, very good, come back. Here's the meat. $70, put it on my bill. Okay, but your bill is already for many years. You haven't paid this bill yet. When a person is just concerned about Kibbutz Shabbat, Mikveh, all this, but he doesn't pay his bill. Where's the honesty? No, I'll come back Monday. I guarantee it. Monday, you're going to have the check. But he didn't say which Monday. He meant the third Yovel. 150 years from now, his great-grandson will come in on a Monday. Without a check. What's going on with the Yirat Shamayim? So today the Yirat Shamayim all became to promote ourselves. Everybody wears the best tefillin. Everybody has the nicest lulav and etrog. The best matzah. All things that we can show how religious we are. But when nobody's looking, then we do what we want. Oh, this is a problem. You know what Rav Chaim Vital writes from the Arizal? He says, you're going to find people in life, the nicest people you ever met. In Bet Knesset, you can rely on these people for any type of chesed. They'll drop their whole life on a dime to do something. You could call them 11 o'clock at night. I'm in trouble. I'll be right there. Boom, they drop everything, they go. Gomel chasadim tovim. But Rav Chaim Vital says, when it comes to their wife, they're cruel. In the house, they have no derech eretz and no midot. Chaim Vital says these people are worthless. They're not called chasadim. Chesed starts in the house. His wife asks for money. No. In the house he's a tyrant. He's akzar. Outside the house, well, because people are watching him. Nobody's going to give him an award. Nobody's going to give him an award at a dinner for being nice to his wife. There's no kabod for that. That's private. But in public, his chesed is in the Shuta Rabim. But at home he's a deadbeat. He's rude to his wife. He's mean to his children. That shows he has no Yirat Shamayim. Even if he walks with a Gemara under his arm. He's a faker. In public he shows one face. And when nobody's looking, Akhzar. Yishar ve'oyev. You see what I'm telling you? That's how you measure Yirat Shamayim. What are you doing in private? how you dressed in private, how you talking in private, what are you watching in private, when nobody's looking, that's Yirat Shamayim. But Rabbi is the first one in the Shi'ud every day. I don't want to know, in the Shi'ud, everybody has Yirat Shamayim. I want to know after the Shi'ud what he's doing. That's not my question. In the Shi'ud, Hazaka Baruch. I want to know before the Shi'ud and after the Shi'ud. How does he behave in business? How does he behave with his family? How does he pay his bills? Does he keep his word? You know, there was a rabbi called Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish once saw a guy. Guy came to the rabbi, I have a question. They need me to be the tenth for the minyan. There's nine guys, I'm the tenth. But I have a meeting at 2:00. I gave them my word. Chazon Ish said, what's the question? Keep your word. Who told you have to be the tenth in the minyan? You'll pray later. But they need a tenth. He said, that's their problem. We wouldn't think like that. Because we think, oh, tenth of minyan. Keeping your word for a 2:00 appointment? So you come 2:30. Well, what's the difference? People that are responsible people, their service is not only in the public venue. Their service is man to man as well. Somebody asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He wanted to call up his office, his boss, and call in sick on Purim. So he could take off the day on Purim. How are you going to spend Purim in the office? It's not Purim. He wants to spend it there with his family, Mishloach Manot, Matanot Evyonim, and so on and so forth. Seuda. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, well, you want to call up and lie? No, but I get sick days. But you're not sick. But Purim, he said, take a bag, put a turkey sandwich in the bag, take a soda with you, go to the office. During your lunch break, you make soda Purim. That's Yirat Shamayim. Keeping your word, being honest. But to us, it's like what Rabbi Beryl Wine said. He said, in America, we're suffering from the case of reverse Meranos. You know what the Meranos were? They were in Spain. They acted very Jewish in their homes. But in public they had to act very secular so they don't get persecuted. He said in America it's reverse Meranos. In public everybody acts very Jewish. But in private, they do whatever they want. And this is not spoken about. You see, we go to class and they tell you, you have to learn. But they don't tell you what has to happen before you're learning. Where's the Yirat Shamayim? Where's the fear of God? That God is watching. When there's a video camera on you, the person doesn't pick his nose when the video's on him. Why? The video. He has Yirat the video. If a person knows God's watching him, and he believes Shiviti Hashem Nevit Tamid, different behavior. He doesn't sit like a regular person. He doesn't talk like a regular person. He doesn't dress like a regular person. He doesn't transact like a regular person. There's a Gemara. The Gemara is in Shabbat. On Daf Lamed Aleph. Listen to Gemara. You know the six orders in the Mishnah? Shisha Sidre Mishnah. The Mishnah basically makes up all of our Torah. So it's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Vehaya emunat itecha. Hosen yeshuot hochma vada'at. Six words. Gemara says. Emunah, what does the word emunah mean in this pasuk? Ze seder zera'im. That's referring to the first order of the Mishnah called zera'im. Itecha, your times. Ze seder mo'ed. That's the second seder mo'ed. Hosen, ze seder nashim, third order. Yeshuot, ze seder nezikin. Chokhmah, ze seder kadashim. Vedaat, ze seder taharot. Yeshaya is hinting to us the six orders of the Mishnah, which include the entire Torah from beginning to end. Emunat, itecha, hosen, yeshuot. Chokhmah v'da'at. So you say, wow, if a person has all those six orders of the Mishnah, especially if he knows them cold, he knows them ba'al peh, that's the guy. That's the main one. But you have to read the end of the pasuk. You have to read what it says at the end of the pasuk. For that you have to open up the book of Yeshaya. After it lists all of the six orders of the Mishnah, Zira'im, Mo'ed, Nashim, Nizikin, Kadashim, Ta'alot, there's four more words in the pasuk. Yir'at Adonai, He Otzaro. Which means, you know what Otzar is? Otzar is a treasure. A treasure contains items inside of it. It's like a box. So the pasuk is saying, you could have all the Mishnayot, but you need to hold it in something. You need to put it in something. You need to contain it. And what's the container of Torah? Yir'at Hashem Hi Otzaro. Fear of God. And the Gemara comments. Va'afilu hache, with all the learning that you could have. Yir'at Hashem Hi Otzaro. If you have Yirat Shamayim, then it's contained. If not, it's like having all items, flour and wine and all goods, and you have it in a bag, but the bag isn't strong. And when you're leaving the store, the bag has a hole in it. Nekabim, nekabim, halulim, halulim. And now by the time the person gets home, he has nothing in the bag. If a person learns Torah without Yirat Shamayim, there's a hole in the bag. And the Gemara writes, Mashal le'adam she'amar l'shlucho. Imagine a person tells his agent, go bring me one kur. It's a measure. Bring me a bag full of wheat. Bring it to the attic. So he went, he bought him a bag of wheat. He threw it in the attic. Amarle, he tells him, did you put Kav Chumtin in it? What's Kav Chumtin? Kav Chumtin is a preservative. Did you put preservatives in it? Amar le lav. No, I didn't put preservatives. You didn't tell me you have to put preservatives. You just told me bring the wheat. Amar le mutav im lo he'alita. Better you didn't bring it. You're going to put it in the attic, it's going to spoil. You need to put a preservative. Says the Gemara, what's the preservative to keep the Torah in our bodies? Yirat Shamayim. And if you don't have Yirat Shamayim, the Gemara is saying, better you didn't learn. What are you learning for? That's putting the Torah on the back of a hamor. That's putting the Torah on a computer, putting Torah on a bookshelf. There's no value in that. The Kaf Chumtin is Yirat Hashem. And this is what people have to work on. Where's the fear of God? Not the fear of man. Not the fear of reputation. What are the people going to say? That's how we think. What's the neighbors going to say? What's my friends going to say? That's the peer pressure. But most people don't think, what's God going to say? And therefore, you could have people that go to class every day, and I've seen it, and they don't change. And you're wondering, they're learning and learning and learning, but they're the same people. The Torah doesn't change them. Because they have no Yirat Shamayim. After the class is over, they do whatever they want. They say whatever they want. They look at whatever they want. They eat whatever they want. But they come to the Daf Yomi, Rabbi, what are we up to? Have a question? Hadush. They learn good. But outside the Bet Knesset, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. This Torah doesn't do anything for anybody. There's no preservatives. So the Torah gets spoiled, it decays. I continue in this Gemara. Machriz Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai made an announcement. Haval. You know what Haval is. Haval, what a shame, what a pity. Al delet le darta. V'tar'a le darta avid. Haval, he says, what a shame, a person doesn't have a darta. You know what darta is? Darta is a dira. He doesn't have a house. But what does he have? Tar'a l'darta avid. He has a door. Imagine you go into the field. You see a door in the field. So they go, what is this? This is a door. What does it lead to? Open up. You open the door, nothing, grass. Haval, what did you do here? What's the value of a door if you don't have a house? So Rabbi Hanani used to make an announcement, Abotai, Haval al de'itle the letle darta. He doesn't have a house. V'tar'al darta itle. But he has a door. What is he talking about? Who's going to do such a thing? So he explains. The house represents Yirat Shamayim. Because the house contains everything. The door is the Torah. You enter the gates of Torah. You ever heard of the gateways of Torah? The Sha'arim of Torah? But if the gates of Torah do not lead to a house that can contain it, haval, that's a door that in America we say leads to nowhere. Every day you enter the gates of Torah, but it will not bring you anywhere. You need the house to contain the Torah. That's Yirat Shamayim. There was a great rabbi, they called him Rabbi Naftali Mirofshitz. He said the following. What's the first letter that our Torah begins with? Bet. Everybody asks, why doesn't it start with an Aleph? Do you know what he said? Because the Bet, how do you spell the letter Bet? Bet Yutaf. Bet Yutaf is a bayit. Before the Torah begins, first you have to build a bayit. First you have to have darta. Once you have darta, you have the bayit, you have the bet. You're at the shemi otzaro. Now go study. Now go build the door. That bet that the Torah begins with is the Yirat Shamayim. That's the principles. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. There was a rabbi called Shav Shmateta. In the beginning of this sefer called Shav Shmateta, in the introduction, he says a big hadush. It said like this. Did you ever hear the saying, Bat Tehila Siman Yafe Labanim? What does that mean? Bat Tehila Siman Yafe Labanim? if a person has a daughter first, firstborn is a daughter, bat tehila, it's a good sign for boys to come. Siman yafel banim. Simple interpretation means, when a girl is born first, you say it's good. Now you can have the boys after. Because the mother needs help with the boys, they're very difficult. So the girl becomes a second mother. The girl will help the mother take care of the boys. So bat tehila siman yafel banim. That's a simple interpretation. But he explains it differently. He says, in the holy books, when we talk about Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Shamayim is compared to a girl, a woman, a lady. Why? We once explained it like this. By a lady, it says, Kol kibuda bat melech penima. A lady in the Jewish religion, her greatness is inside. The lady's role is a private role, is a modest role. That's not Chas v'Shalom discriminatory. That's a role. That's a person's function. Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest of all men. He wasn't prejudiced. He knew exactly that everybody has a purpose. Yirat Shamayim also, like the role of a woman, is something that's inside. It's penima. Yirat Shamayim is something that's internal. And they write, the study of Torah is compared to a ben, a man. Men are more public. Torah is taught in public. Torah is something that's promoted on the outside. Torah is taught in public. We call somebody that succeeds in Torah, we call him ben Torah. So he writes, you know what that Gemara means? Bat Tehila. If first you have the Bat, which is the Yirat Shamayim, if first you have the internal Yirat Shamayim, you worked on yourself internally to have this fear of God, Bat Tehila, Siman Yafel Banim. Now it's a good sign for the Torah. But it has to be Bat Tehila. First it has to be Yirat Shamayim, then it's a good sign for all the Torah that follows. But he quotes a pasuk at the end of the Torah in Parashat Ha'azinu. And the pasuk says, Vayar Hashem Vayin'at. It says, and God saw and he got angry. Why did he get angry? Mikaas banav ubdotav. It says from the behavior of the boys, his sons and his daughters, says the Shav Shmateta, God got angry, mikaas, you know why? Because the people were putting banav before benotav. They were putting the Torah before the Yirat Shamayim. Everybody was learning. Everybody had a book under their hand. And Yirat Shamayim was secondary. The Torah just became educational. The Torah became stylish. It became vogue. Yeah, gotta go to class. And then after class, you go do what you want. Vayar Hashem vayinatz mikaas banav ubnotav. Vayomer astira panay mehem. Kidor tahpuchot hema. They're a generation that has reversed the order. Hafuch. Kidor tahpuchot hema. They've reversed the order. They put Torah before Yirat Shamayim. And therefore, Banim lo emun bam. Their Torah is not worth anything. As much as we talk about the importance of learning Torah, should be the talk of what we're doing when we're not learning Torah. Our behavior has to be a behavior that's in front of God. We have to think, would we do this if somebody was watching us? Would we act like this in our homes if somebody would know this? If this would get out, would we be embarrassed of it? That's Yirat Shamayim. And once you start to reach that level of Yirat Shamayim, now all of a sudden all the Torah starts to seep in your bones. Now all of a sudden the Torah starts to elevate a person. He starts to grow to very high levels. Chokhmato mitkayemet. And now we go back to answer all our questions. Kotomar lebet Yaakov v'taged lebnei Yisrael. Before God was giving the Torah to the Jewish people, God said, first you need to follow the measure of Bet Yaakov Elu HaNashim. That's the Yirat Shamayim. Bat Techila. God says, before we give this book, Bet Yaakov is first, Elu HaNashim, that represents the Yirat Shamayim, the Kol Kibudah Bat Melech Penima, you must build yourself internally first, that you recognize there's a God. That's what he meant. Not that they just called a meeting for the woman. God was giving a principle here. The Bet Yaakov must come before Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael represents the men, that's the study of Torah. That's the Bnei Torah. But before the Ben has to come the Bat Techila. God was giving him a principle. And then God says, V'yitem li sigula. And Rashi says, what's the sigula? Rashi's language was, Otsar hamuda. Otsar, a treasure. That's exactly the same word that it says in the Pasuk, Yirat Hashem hi otsaro. That she says, the sigula means God says, you must make me a treasure. God is repeating, before I could start giving you the commandments, you need to make an otsar, you need to build a house. This also explains what God meant when he said the Jewish people will be Mamlechet Kohanim. Do you know the job of a Jewish king in the olden days was? The kings used to walk around with the Sefer Torah on their arm. The king wasn't a political position. It wasn't a government appointed position. The king was the chief rabbi. Listen to the king, Shaul HaMelech, Gadol HaDor, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. When a person would go to Yerushalayim, the king would give a derasha. The king would bring the people closer to God. You know how? We don't have this today. But in the olden days, when they had a king, you understood what God means to be a king. Because you had a physical king. You knew if you acted in the slightest way against the king, they could kill you. Those communities that come from countries that have kings, they have great fear of God. I'm an American. I was brought up in a democracy. Your parents and some of you were not brought up in a democracy in Iran. You were brought up in a theocracy. You were brought up in a dictatorship. That does much better for you, Yirat Shamayim, than a democracy. Democracy, you could say what you want, do what you want, write what you want. Nobody says anything to you. You could curse the government out, and free speech, freedom of the press. In Iran, I'm sure if you did that, that's the last article you write. That's the last statement. Doesn't work like that. So that gives a person, wow, you can understand Yirat Shamayim a little. You can understand what does it mean, the king. You can understand what it means, Malchut. That's what God said. Mamlechet Kohanim, The midah of the melech is yirah, is fear. And the rabbis tell us that those people that used to go to the Beit HaMikdash and see the Kohanim in their service, the Beit HaMikdash used to bring Yirat Shamayim to the person. When you saw the Kohanim ba'avodatam, Nora Elohim mimikdashecha, the Mikdash brings Yirah. And therefore God says, Ve'atemtim yulim mamlechet Kohanim, your job is supposed to be like the Melech and like the Kohanim, which is Yirat Shamayim and Yirat Shamayim. And maybe that's why God brought Har HaMoriah to Har Sinai. Because Har HaMoriah was the place of the Beit HaMikdash. Et Mikdashi Tira'u. When a person went to the Beit HaMikdash, it brought Yirat Shamayim to him. When Yaakov Abinu slept and had the dream in the place of the Mikdash with the ladder, what does he do when he wakes up? He says, Man Nora HaMakom Hazeh. This place is Nora. It's fearing. It's awesome. And therefore God said, the people need Yirat Shamayim. We've got to bring Har HaMoriah to Har Sinai. Last but not least, Moshe Rabbeinu said, the best day where we show God that we have Yirat Shamayim is Shabbat. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Shabbat is the day of Yirat Shamayim. How does it know? Because the first word of the Torah is Bereshit. The Zohar says if you take the letters of Bereshit and you switch them around, it spells Yareh Shabbat. Yareh Shabbat. That's the first word in the Torah. We get Yirat Shamayim from Shabbat. You know how? Because there's so many laws and nobody's watching us. Person comes home, Leil Shabbat, he has Seudah, Kiddush, Shalom Aleichem, Eshet Chayim, all the stuff. Then he goes upstairs, and he sees he forgot the light on in his bedroom. Oh, how's he going to sleep? The light is on. He looks around. Vayar, v'yifen ko v'ko, vayar ki en ish. There's nobody there. Tick, and closes the light. His wife comes up and says, hey, the light was on. Who closed the light? I don't know. It closed. Eliyahu Hanavi. Nes gadol haya sham. Oh, Shabbat is Yirat Shamayim. Shabbat is Yirat Shamayim. When the lady comes home on Shabbat morning and she sees that the hamin, the plug is not in, the plug went out and the food's all cold, now you have to have Yirat Shamayim. Now you have to have Yirat Shamayim, but if you don't have Yirat Shamayim, you start to putting plugs in and starting to fool around, do things you're not supposed to. What does a caterer do on Shabbat? What does a caterer do on Shabbat who doesn't have Yirat Shamayim? Has a big party, and he comes to the party, 8 o'clock in the morning, he's preparing, everybody's in Bet Knesset, 400 people are going to come have a big Seudah, and he's preparing downstairs and everything. Also he realizes, why, he forgot the drinks. Why, 400 people, there's no drinks. He has Yirat Shamayim, he says, what am I going to do? He says, that's it, I fear God. No Yirat Shamayim, he sends the goy, hurry up, go to the store, put it on my bill, bring it back. This is what goes on. And a big sign, Bet Yosef meat, Kemach Yashan, no bugs. Where's Yirat Shamayim? I was once on a Pesach trip when I saw somebody has Yirat Shamayim. The Mashgiach came out of the kitchen white like he saw a ghost. Rabbi Mansour, emergency question. What happened? He says, today's lunch is filet mignon. I said, I know, I'm waiting for this the whole Pesach for this lunch. I see it on the menu, filet mignon. He says, but I need to ask a question. He says, it's my fault. The filet mignon is braised in wine. The wine, however, that they braised it with was not mevushal, And the chefs in the kitchen took the wine and they poured it over all of this and they cooked it already. What do we do? Non mevusham. It's cooked after they cooked it. I'm glad they didn't ask you. He knew the answer himself. He knew the answer. He was a good mashgiach, but he just wanted to say maybe there's a loophole, a hefsed, a big loss, the people, a Pesach. And we learned it together and we saw there's no heter. Everything thrown away. Gone. Finished. What's for lunch today? Matzah. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Haroset. That's Yirat Shamayim. Another person would say, no, I didn't say anything. I thought it was Mevushal. I got Mevushal after. All the Hadushim. Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is to do what the Torah says without fooling around. Even when nobody will know that. He could have covered it up. Nobody would have known anything. He could have brought the meat out. Rabbi, how was the filet mignon? Oh, delicious, great. How's the wine sauce? Great, delicious, great. Who knows what's Mevushal? We don't know anything. Yirat Shamayim. That's why we have to be very concerned. If you have caterers that don't have Yirat Shamayim, so what are you going to do now? That's why you need a mashgiach. And I'll tell you a secret. Even a mashgiach cannot control somebody that doesn't have Yirat Shamayim. Because if somebody doesn't have Yirat Shamayim wants to fool around, he knows how to fool around the mashgiach also. This is a serious thing I'm telling you. But I didn't come to talk about kashrut today. It's in everything. I'm talking about us. Bat techila siman yafeh lebanim. We have to put the bat before the ben. First the bet Yaakov and then tagid lebnei Israel. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu pushed it off to Shabbat. Because Shabbat is the day where we get Yirat Shamayim. That's the day where we can show God that we have fear. There's so many laws that we have to follow. And a lot of times it's in private. Bereshit is Yare Shabbat. And our Yirat Shamayim has to be not only in public. The Pasuk says, Yoshev Beseter Elyon. The one that sits Beseter in private and serves God, he's the one that's on top. The one that sits in public and serves God, there's no proof. And that's why I say to Kahal Kadosh tonight, what Shulchan Aruch said on page 1, Shiviti Adonai Lenegdi Tamid Kimi Mini Bad Emot. This is the prerequisite of Matan Torah. Am Segula means we're a nation that has an otzar. We're a nation that doesn't only build doors, we build homes, we build houses. We preserve our Torah with Kav Humtin. And then, Be'azat Hashem, we become Mamlechet Kohanim, we become like kings and Kohanim that are able to imbue into others Yirat Shamayim. When people see people that have Yirat Shamayim, it becomes contagious. When you see somebody act properly in business, somebody act properly in the store, somebody act properly on the road, somebody act properly in his house, to his family, to his wife, to his spouse. This is the test of Yirat Shamayim. And I pray, Be'azat Hashem, Akol bidei Shamayim, it says. Chutz mi'Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is something that we control. It's in our ability. It's in our capability to overcome this nisayon. You have to learn a lot. But before you learn, or as you're learning, the way you're going to learn Yirat Shamayim from, you need to study Musaf. You need to get the books that talk about Yirat Shamayim. Whether it's the book called Mesilat Yesharim, whether it's the book called Share Teshuvah, whether it's the book called Chovot HaLevavot, whether it's the book called Pele Yoretz, whether it's the book called Kav HaYashar. You need to read these books. These books teach you how to have Yirat Shamayim. Very simple. Or the book of the Ben Ish Chai. the halachot, you're not necessarily going to get Yirat Shamayim from reading Daf HaYomi necessarily. You'll get wisdom. Ladies especially, that don't read the Daf HaYomi, you get the Yirat Shamayim from the Musar. To me, I get more excited from the Pesukim before the Ten Commandments than the Ten Commandments. Because the Pesukim before guarantees that the commandments will be mitkayemet. The Pesukim before the Ten Commandments is Yirat Chet'o. And that's what the Bihanina ben Dosa said. Kol sheyirat chet'o kodemet lechokhmato, chokhmato mitkayemet. Vechol she'en yirat chet'o kodemet lechokhmato, en chokhmato mitkayemet. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.